Am I off the camera?
No. Do you need to be?
I do. Can you pause the camera?
Let's go ahead and do the commercials, and then we'll, when we come back, we'll do the prayer request.
Our Facebook sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice. Spain's Construction.
It's okay.
Okay. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. And our guest today is Travis M. Bowden. His title for today is Do Your Duty. However, we do have a couple prayer requests for this morning.
Our friend and faithful listener, Mignon Sayre, asked us to pray for her friend Kelly for total healing and for her friend Sharon, who was diagnosed with cancer.
Pray for them now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today humbly. Lord, we pray for Kelly and total healing in her body with whatever she's facing, Lord, according to your will. Lord, we pray for Sharon, who was diagnosed with cancer. Lord, we pray for peace and healing in her body, and also peace for their family members, the ones that called in and made these requests, and anybody that's in their sphere of influence, and that you bring peace and comfort to their lives. And if there's a lesson to be learned, Lord, or you're using this as to draw them closer to you, Lord, Lord, we just ask that you be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Do your duty.
Do your duty. So we talked about the first two commandments on the first half of this lesson, if you will, this sermon, about loving God being the first and foremost commandment that Jesus gave in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And then the second one was to love others, and how so often as Christians we miss that part of loving others when we're sharing the gospel. And then action three is to be obedient. And obey those that are put in authority over you. And I want to come from the scripture in Romans 13, 1 through 6. You know, because we're all slaves to a certain extent when you think about it. We're all slaves to our job. And slaves have such a negative connotation, but if you don't go to work, you don't earn a paycheck. If you don't earn a paycheck, you don't eat. And so some people complain about their jobs, but our jobs are a blessing. And whatever God has blessed you with, whatever you're currently doing that puts food in your mouth, that puts food on the table for your children and your family, whatever pays the bills, keeps a roof over your head, puts fuel into your vehicle, that job is a blessing. Now, you might not work for a blessing. The individual that is your boss, you might not get along with, but at the end of the day, it's still a blessing. And if you don't like your job, then that should be motivation for you to go get training or to go get an education or to work your way up the chain where you answer to someone different, or that you're qualified, become qualified to get a different job somewhere else. But at the end of the day, it's a blessing. And so let's read some scripture real quick. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. So if you're doing the right thing, you shouldn't have to worry about it. That's what that's saying. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Crazy how, not crazy, but it's neat how Paul's word here about being obedient ties back into God's most important commandment, to love. So that brings me to the situation that I was talking about earlier in the sermon when I had that situation on Facebook, and I got sucked into an argument, and it was from a friend of mine who, based on his comments, has been exposed to church, knows enough of the word to be dangerous, but it was used completely out of context. And, you know, hermeneutics and the study of the Bible and taking scriptures, you know, complete thoughts, complete stories from start to finish in the historical context, taking into account the historical setting and the narrative and who the target audience was and who the speaker was and what was the political and socioeconomic situations in that time, in that setting, is extremely important. Everything in the Bible is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was written. But so many times we can take and cherry pick verses and use them out of context as a weapon, or we skew God's word in a situation or in a manner that was not intended, and it can be off-putting. It can, you know, become a weapon. And so it was about this specific scripture, and my friend rattled off, well, what about, you know, if you're supposed to obey people and, you know, it's the law to kill babies and it's a law to smoke weed, you know, who are you supposed to, and I was just like, time out. First of all, and this friend of mine, I'm thinking he was prior service, because immediately I thought of the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. We have a right as soldiers to disobey a direct order if it violates like moral law. Like so, if our commanding officer says, you know, go and wipe out this village and it's full of women and children, you know, unarmed, civilian non-combatives, we have the right to say, no, we're not going to do that. God's word is we are called to obey the law unless it causes us to sin. And he missed that whole context of that scripture. And so he was just cherry picking those scriptures out of Romans 13 and not using it appropriately. And so I was like, listen, just because laws are being passed right now that support gay marriage, as a pastor in a church, you better not be performing wedding ceremonies for gay couples. You need to be preaching the gospel to them and showing them scripturally how their lifestyle, living in sin intentionally, is leading down a path that's going to end up in hell, not performing a marriage ceremony. Just because it's law doesn't mean that you have to perform that ceremony. Just because abortion now is legal doesn't mean that you should be condoning abortion yourself or anybody in your family. As a minister of the word, I have to speak the truth to people based on what God's word says and not take it out of context. It's the most, it's the heaviest title responsibility that I've ever taken upon is this, and I will not stray from it at all. And it's never wrong to do the right thing based on God's word. It might be unpopular. It might be uncomfortable. It's most likely going to be inconvenient given the time or whatever you're facing, but never wrong. And so now it's time to be a warrior. I'm getting riled up. I'm getting excited. That's what I'm talking about. And so I told him, brother, you're missing it. And Pastor Josh West, who is my mentor in the faith, kind of my father in the faith from the ranch, who I hold in such high regard because he's just so sound in his doctrine. And he chimed in and was trying to explain it to him, to my friend, and I was, you know, coming at him with a UCMJ and kind of making sense of it that way, thinking that this might click. Well, it wasn't clicking. And it was just getting more. And finally, me and Josh were just like, we had to step back and say, all right, this isn't getting us anywhere. And the seed was planted because I know the seed was put there and sown with the right intention. And then me and Josh just stepped away. And sometimes that's all we can do. We were obedient by clearly explaining doctrine. And I did the best I could. And then once I felt like it was going nowhere, we both stepped away. And so that was kind of the lesson there as far as we have to be obedient. We have to listen to what our boss says. We have to be a good steward of the blessing that God gave us as employees. But whenever a law says that you have to do something that causes you to sin, you don't. And so that's the line that people need to understand and in context. And leads me to my last action here. We started a little late, so. But I'll try to condense it and get it close. Action 4 is be a disciple. Be a force multiplier. And like I mentioned earlier, I got an opportunity last week to go speak at the Oilfield Christian Fellowship, which is the Oklahoma City chapter, and they have other chapters around the nation, or at least I know there's one in Houston. I'm not sure about Denver and other Oilfield cities, but I got an opportunity to share my testimony. And my title to that was being a force multiplier. And that's a saying coming from the special forces. Like as Green Berets, they're known as force multipliers. They'll go in and they'll train an indigenous population on military tactics and train them on how to shoot weapons and things of that nature to lead them into doing their own coordinated attacks to defend themselves, like within a country where we're not going to send the whole might and force of the U.S. military. We'll send a small team of Green Berets in there. They'll go in there into hostile environments and train the locals. They're force multipliers. And so my sermon was talking about how do you a force multiplier? How do I become a disciple? How do I carry the gospel? Where do I start? And, it was the third definition of God's love, duty was, you know, love God, love people, and then be a disciple. Jesus calls at the end of the four Gospels, he tells people, you know, tells the disciples or the apostles, go out and spread the word. Preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, make disciples of all nations is how different Gospels record it. But
At the end of the day, our fourth action is to be a disciple. And so I equate being a disciple with being a force multiplier. Everywhere I go, you know, St. Francis Assisi says, go to all the earth and spread the gospel or preach the gospel. And when necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we decide to become disciples, men and women of God, and this is just as applicable to women who are single moms who are raising their children, men and women, pray with your children. Being a disciple starts in your home. If we're going to change the world and we're going to take a stance for Jesus Christ, we have got to learn to be force multipliers, and it starts in our nuclear family. So if you're a single mom and you've got kids, pray with your kids. Every meal, pray with your kids. Read them a Bible story. Read the word together, pray over your meals, and then lead them to church. That's the foundation. That's the starting point. If you love God and you want to love people and be a disciple, get in that word. And do it when your kids can see you. I want my daughter to know that Daddy prayed. You know, I want my daughter to know, Sundays we're going to church. Oh, you got a tummy ache? Better suck it up, Buttercup, because we're going to church. Hey, here's a bottle of Pepto. Grab your Bible, and we're on the road. And so having that structure and having that type of leadership mentality to, because it's leading like Jesus is being a servant. So to be a disciple, you have to be a servant. I'm serving my daughter an example of how to be a leader. I'm going to take her to church and show her that, first and foremost, Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. Above mommy, above daddy, above jobs, above sports, Jesus. And so if we start there, we can be a warrior for Christ in our nuclear family. You know, and my daughter, when I can ask her right now, you know, who's the most important person in our lives? And she'll say Jesus. Without fail, without it being rehearsed, she just knows, because I've ingrained that in her mind. And she knows on Sundays we go to church. And so it starts in the nuclear family. Men, lead your wives and your kids to church every Sunday. Now, there's going to be situations where you're out of town on vacation, but I'm saying if you're having Bible study at home and you're reading the word together and you're praying together, that foundation is going to be there. If you miss a Sunday, it's not like you all are going to hell in a handbasket. So, but I'm saying lead your family. And then from there, then you can start to become a force multiplier in your church. And if anybody wants information about Living Free groups, I'm still a facilitator trainer, I can get you plugged into the facilitator training modules that are put on by the Assemblies of God and Teen Challenge in Oklahoma if you want to take a more active role in your church. But step two of being a disciple is to get involved in your church. Volunteer. Be a greeter. Be a host. You know, drive a little golf cart around and go pick up people in the parking lot, whatever that looks like for you. Because we're all called to be disciples, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a plumber, whether you're an evangelist and you preach every Sunday behind a pulpit, whether you're an astronaut, it does not matter. Go to all the ends of the earth, make disciples of everyone. And so as a disciple, that's our calling. And then from there, you can be a force multiplier within your sphere of influence in your town. Start inviting people that you don't like to church. There's a thought that you work with. You know, beat people to death with love. You know, and I say that tongue in cheek, but like, put the hammer down and open up your Bible and invite people to church. It starts in your family. Be a force multiplier in the head of your household by leading them to church and raise a family of people that love Jesus. And then from there, volunteer in your church and let your children see that you volunteer in church and that you talk about Jesus and that you're not ashamed to raise your hands in praise and worship and that you're not ashamed to go to church when it's uncomfortable or it's cold outside or you don't feel well. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It's always going to be about Jesus. End of story. And so that's how it relates to duty. Love God, love people, and be a disciple. And then use that, you know, by being obedient. An obedient disciple is being a force multiplier within your family. And, you know, a civilian saying by Edward Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. I'm not going to sit by on the sidelines and see the nonsense that's going on in the world and have to worry about whether I'm doing enough to introduce Jesus into my daughter's life. I'm taking a stand, and I'm going to preach the word. And that's all I've got. Stay tuned for the next one, because the next letter in the acronym for the Army values and leadership is R, which stands for respect.
Oh, right on.
So there'll be some similar themes because respect is pretty close to loyalty and duty, the first two. And it ties in with selfless service and honor, which are the next two after that. But, yeah.
Right on.
And that's all I've got today, folks.
Something else the Lord told me about this hammer, hammer down thing, is he told me. He told me not to be inspecting people's fruit with hammers.
Right?
So, yeah.
That's a good word.
And, you know, with my grandson, Angel, when I got him, whenever I was raising grandkids, I tell them, Jesus loves you more than anybody on earth could or will ever love you. And then with my grandson, Angel, I tell him that too. You know, Jesus is our best friend. Mm-hmm. You can talk to him about anything, anything. And with Angel, I wanted to make sure he knew God's voice. I want him to know within himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I only did it when the Holy Spirit was like, okay, do this.
Mm-hmm.
When he would do something, like if I caught him lying, okay?
Right.
And I only did it when instructed by the Holy Spirit, because when he tells me to do something or instructs me to do something, I know when I do it, he's going to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would get a few times I had caught Angel lying, and the Holy Spirit said to me, ask him to ask God how that made him feel. And I'm like, okay. So I said, Angel, to yourself, alone, just you and God, mm-hmm. I want you to ask him how that made him feel.
Right.
And he did, and his little face changed. And he would say, that made him sad, Grandma. And I'm like, okay. And that's okay. He still loves us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he still loves you. And he did something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was really good, something really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit said, ask him, have him ask God how that made him feel.
Right.
And so I said, Angel, I want you to take a minute and ask God how that made him feel. And his little face just changed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he said, that made him feel really happy, Grandma. I just made God feel really happy, Grandma. You know?
Uh-huh.
And for me, because that's something with Angel going back to his mom, mm-hmm. I want him to hang on to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to let go of Jesus. And I wanted him to know Abba's voice.
Mm-hmm.
To be familiar with that voice. And when he speaks, the feeling. I don't know about y'all, but when I get a word, I don't just hear it. I
feel it.
And I want him to know that voice and the feeling
mm-hmm.
that comes with it.
Right.
So when he does go out, he knows that he knows.
Yep.
And there's no doubt.
Right. That's great.
I just love the Lord. He's super sauce, y'all. Would you like to pray to end us out, brother?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your son, Father God, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and who spent 3 days in hell fighting for us, Lord. Help us to be disciples. And share your word Lord, help us to be bold when we're sharing the gospel. Help us to be force multipliers. Help us to carry out the duty that you've called us all to do by loving you, loving others, and then being a disciple and carrying the gospel everywhere we go. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the prayer requests and the people that listened. Lord, I pray for anybody and everybody out there that's hurting. Lord, if there's anybody that is in your will that needs to be plugged into a church or is struggling with a life-controlling issue, drugs or alcohol or pornography or gambling, whatever it is, Lord, if they're looking for a way to break free of that, Lord, I pray that you touch their heart and draw them to you and get them in touch with any of us, Lord, that can get them help and introduce them to you, Lord. Help us to be bold. Lord, we thank you, we honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. While Travis was praying, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me that somebody is watching or going to watch that doesn't go to church anymore because they've been hurt. From someone who has been there, I want you to know it wasn't God that hurt you, and it wasn't the church. The church is just a building. The people in there make up the body of Christ. And I'm sorry that someone misrepresented Christ. I'm sorry that you got hurt. Please come home. Please come home. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Travis and Bowden.
Right?
Y'all have a blessed day. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.